Before we get started, if anybody needs a Bible, would you raise your hand? And also, I don't know if there's anybody here to do the children's church. Tina normally does that, so I'm assuming there's nobody. So the kids can stay in here with us today. Wait, you will stay in here with us today. Anybody else need a Bible? Okay, I'm going to open up a prayer and then we're going to go right into the message. Father, not only am I asking you for the Holy Spirit to be with me this morning, and Lord, give your message, the one that you want every person in this room to hear this morning. But I also ask you to be with each and every person in this room. Lord, open their ears up to whatever it is each and every one sitting here needs to hear. Lord, you say if two or more come together, then you will be in their presence. Lord, we got more than two here. Lord, we don't have to have a giant building full of people to have your presence in our life. And Lord, we want to thank you for that. Lord, the ones here are the ones that you wanted to be here this morning. Lord, we just thank you for that. And Lord, like I say, I just ask the Holy Spirit to open the ears and let them hear. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. If you'll turn your Bibles, to Matthew chapter 6, we're going to read the scriptures and then go into the message. Matthew chapter 6, starting with verse 19, going through verse 34, verse 19 through 34. I'm going to give you a minute. If you're there, say amen this morning. Okay. Do not gather and heap up and store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust and worm consume and destroy, and where thieves break through and steal. But gather and heap up and store for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust nor worm consume and destroy, and where thieves do not break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is sound, your entire body will be full of light. But if your eye is unsound, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the very light in you, your conscience, is darkened, how dense is that darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate one and love the other, or he will stand by and be devoted to one and despise and be against the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Deceitful riches, money, and possessions, or whatever it is that you're putting your trust into other than God. Therefore, I tell you, stop being perfectly uneasy, anxious, and worried about your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, or about your body, what you shall put on. Is not life greater in quality than food, and the body far above more excellent than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father keeps feeding them. Are you not worth much more than they? And who of you, by worrying and being anxious, can add one unit of measure, cubit, to his stature or to the span of his life? And why should you be anxious about clothes? Consider the lilies of the field and learn thoroughly how they grow. Their neighbor toil nor they neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his magnificence, excellent dignity and grace was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass and fields, which today is alive and green and tomorrow is tossed into the furnace, will he not much more surely clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry and be anxious, saying, what are we going to have to eat? Or what are we going to have to drink? Or what are we going to have to wear? For the Gentiles, in parentheses, they got heathens, wish for and crave and diligently seek all these things. And your heavenly Father knows well that you need them all. But seek, in other words, aim at and strive after, first of all, his kingdom and his righteousness, his way of doing and being right, not our own. And then all these things taken together will be given you besides. So do not worry or be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will have worries and anxieties of its own. Sufficient for each day is its own trouble. I did my sermon using the Living Translation, but I went to the library this morning and I spotted this and I went through and read it in this book, and I just liked the way this book read. So I thought I'd read in this one. Like I said, the title is Temporary Home. How many know that the homes that we live in right now are just temporary? They're not going to last very long. How many know we don't belong here? We're just passing through. But in this short time that we're here, we have a lot of important things that we need to accomplish. And as I was going over this, God put some things in my head. And you know, the very first thing that's got to be accomplished, we got to make sure of our salvation. We got to know who we belong to. In other words, we got to pick our future home. See, we got two choices. God has given us two choices. We get to choose. They call one heaven. They call the other hell. You can go to either one you want to go to. That's what we're doing right now, making up our minds. Who we're going to serve, who we're going to follow. Who's going to be our real father? Who is our real father? I can tell you right now, before we go any farther, I've already made my mind up. And I believe most of you have. If you haven't, I hope you do before this morning is over with. I've chosen heaven. And the book, the Bible that I just read out of will tell you why I chose heaven. That's the first thing we got to make sure of. Then we got to make sure that everybody that God puts around us knows the same thing we know. That we tell them about, we've got a choice to make. We got two homes we can go to. One's called heaven, one's called hell. They got to make their own mind that we can't make it up for them. Our job is to tell them. Not only tell them about their home, but tell them what's in that book I just read. The truth. Jesus sent us out to testify for him, to witness for him. That's our job. So that's the next thing we got to do. Make sure everybody else knows what you know. Don't leave anybody behind. Don't leave anybody without giving them the opportunity to choose. Once we do these two things, we need to start preparing for our future. And I'm not talking about our future here on this earth. That's going to be taken care of. If we follow what God tells us in his word, our future here is going to be taken care of. I'm talking about the future, my eternal future, my new home in heaven. See, we can start planning for eternity today. We don't have to wait till we get there. There's treasures can be waiting on there. My treasure, I'm going to have treasure waiting on me when I get there. Hopefully everyone in this room is going to have this treasure. So we got to start preparing for that. Verses 19 and 20 says, don't store treasures here on earth where moths eat them and rust destroys them, and where thieves break in and steal. Store your treasures in heaven where moths and rust cannot destroy and thieves do not break in and steal. See, storing treasures. Some people think when you come to church and pay your tithes, that's storing treasures. And that, in a sense, when you give money for God's work, it is invested in heaven. But it's not limited to money. It's everything we do in life. It's obeying God to the fullest. It's being obedient. See, we should be seeking to please God, not only in giving, but also in fulfilling God's purposes in all we do. Amen? A large part of the church, and I'm not just talking about this building and people in here, I'm talking about the church. There's only one church. I don't care. I've mentioned this before in another. I don't care which building you go to church in. I don't care what you call yourself, whether you call yourself Baptist, Church of God, Buckhead Christian Church. We're one church. We meet in different places. You couldn't get the whole church in one building, but we're one church. We form habits, bad habits in our lifetime of collecting and storing stuff, all kinds of stuff. Our closets, our sheds, garages, they're full of stuff. How many can testify to this? I know I got closets. I haven't got the garage, but I do have a shed. Every time I get it all organized and put away and think I can get in the door, more stuff. It seems to come from everywhere. This stuff is part of our earthly treasure, not our kingdom, not our heavenly treasures. It's part of our earthly treasures. We will end up using a small portion of this stuff. Sadly to say, most of it will still be there the day we die. There's many people that passed on with their stuff still in their closets. And if the moths don't eat it and the rust don't destroy it and nobody breaks in and steals it, we're just going to end up dying and somebody's going to get it anyway. Amen? But we spend so much time collecting it, working hard for it, just to put it up. But Jesus tells us in verse 20 that we can exchange this stuff for real treasures in heaven. Amen? Now, how do we do that? By taking some of this stuff that we have no use for. This stuff that we just don't want to get rid of because we may use it down the road. And invest it in people. In God's people. You know, because I may not need something. Don't need my brother down the road. Might need it. See, he may not be able to afford it. But I can invest in him. I can make him a little bit richer. I can make his life a little easier. And when I do that from a good heart, a good, clean conscience, not because I want something from my brother, not because I want to sell it and make money, but if I give it to him because I love him, then I have a reward waiting on me in heaven. I consider this like a big savings account there. And every time I do what God wants me to do the correct way, without a motive, without wanting something in return, God puts something in my savings account. And I don't know what it is. It won't be money. We're not going to have money in heaven. But let me tell you, anything you find in heaven is going to be better. The worst thing you find in heaven is going to be better than the best thing you find here on this earth. Amen? So we take this treasure that we have here, this earthly treasure, and we can exchange it for heavenly treasures. But sometimes we just don't want to turn loose of this stuff. We just don't want to turn loose of it. This life is short. Job tells us this. If you look in the book of Job, chapter 14, verse 1, Job tells us how frail is humanity, how short is life, and how full of trouble. How many realize how short this life is? You know, it was just yesterday I was a young boy. And at that time it was moving pretty slow, but all of a sudden it sped up. And here I'm almost 60. I'm still a young man, but a lot older than I was. It's moving fast. This is a short, short life we have here. He says, like a, and the trouble part, how many have trouble in here? It's going to be here from now on. Like a flower, we blossom for a moment and then wither. Like the shadow of a passing cloud, we quickly disappear. We need to remember one thing. This is not our home. We're only passing through. We need to start thinking about our future, our real home in heaven. Amen? Jesus said in verse 21, wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will be also. My question to you this morning is, where is your desires? Where is your heart? What is your treasure? Is it in this world and the things of this world? Or in an eternal home called heaven in heavenly treasures? That's something each one of us has got to find out for ourselves, about ourselves. I have to deal with this. I've got to check myself out. Where is my treasure? And I can tell you right now, it is in God. I'd be nowhere without God. Amen? Verses 22 says, and 23 says, your eye is a lamp that provides light for your body. When your eye is good, your whole body is filled with light. But when your eye is bad, your whole body is filled with darkness. And if the light you think you have is actually darkness, how deep that darkness is. Spiritual vision is our capacity to see clearly what God wants us to do. Amen? And to see the world from His point of view, not from ours. But this spiritual insight can be easily clouded with self-serving desires. Self-serving interests and goals. They block our vision. Serving God is the best way to restore it. A pure eye is one that is fixed on God. Amen? So what is your eye focused on? Jesus said in Matthew 24, no one can serve two masters. For you will hate one and love the other. You will be devoted to one and despise the other. He says next, you cannot serve both God and money. Now, I've been talking about stuff. I didn't say anything about money yet, but money is still stuff. We can't have two masters. We live in a materialistic society where many people serve money. Some people would do anything for money. They spend all their lives collecting and storing it, only to do what? Die and leave it. I mean, you can only use so much money. You can only use so much stuff. But greed sets in sometimes and we just can't let go. But see, what I'm trying to get you to see in this sermon this morning, we can invest. We don't just have to throw the money away. When we invest in God's people, in His kingdom, in His house, in His work, we're investing in ourselves. we can help others and collect in our savings account he's got in heaven. Amen? So instead of storing it up in a place that you can lose it, there's no guarantees when you put it in the bank. There's no guarantees when you put it in the stock market. I can guarantee you that because I've invested in it. And you can look around at the world today. It's not a good place to have it. There's no guarantees, but he has given us a guarantee in his word this morning that you invest in my kingdom, in my people. I'm not saying this building or I'm saying my people, my kingdom. And I got your savings account. You may not enjoy it right at the moment, but you're going to. You're going to. Amen? Their desires for money and what it can buy outweighs their commitment to God in spiritual matters. Whatever you store up, you will spend much of your time and energy thinking about. And I got down here, don't fall into the materialistic trap, because the love, and then make sure you understand what I'm saying here. The love of money, I didn't say money. I said the love of money is at the root of all kinds of evil. Amen? You see, we spend time, money and energy, I mean time and energy now on how to make the money. After we make it, we're trying to figure out how we're going to keep it. And then we're going to try to figure out how we're going to keep it from everybody else, because there's always somebody trying to take it from us. When we should be trusting in God. When we should be invested in the right places. Amen? Jesus contrasted heavenly values and earthly values when he explained that our first loyalty should be to those things that do not fade, cannot be stolen or used up, and never wear out. This means we may have to do some cutting back. When our possessions start taking possession of us, when they start becoming more important to us, we need to get rid of something. This world has nothing to offer more important than God and God's kingdom. Amen? So we may need to get rid of some things in our life and get God back into our lives. And I'm talking about Christian people too. We've let the world mess our minds up and make, we're starting to think more like they are and not like his word tells us to think. Jesus is calling for a decision that allows us to live contently with whatever we have, because we have chosen what is eternal and lasting. Now, if you know Paul, if you think about what Paul said in the Bible, Paul was a man who had a lot at times, but he was also a man that had very little at times. But he tells you, I've learned to be content no matter how I am. You see, our joy and our peace don't have anything to do with stuff or money. No, we can have peace in our life and joy whether we have anything or if we have a lot. Amen? I've been in both places. I've had very little. I never had a lot, but I've had more. I have more now than I've ever had. If I lost it, if I lost all my investments, and that's all right, I still got God. See, he's my treasure. God has to be our treasure, not our money, not our stuff. See, if I lose every penny of it, but I have him, he promised me in his word that he's going to take care of me. He's going to take care of me, and he's going to take care of you if you put your trust in him and not your stuff. So Paul says, I am content no matter what. That's the way we need to live our lives. Are you making the right choices in your life? Are you content with what you have? You know, I find out the more content I am, the more I end up having. If I'm satisfied with what God has given me, He always ends up giving me more. Amen? Can anybody testify to what I'm talking about? Verses 25 through 30 says, "That is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear. Isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store in barns, but your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you far more valuable than they are? Do you really believe that you're more valuable than the birds?" See, He chose me to be His temple. He lives inside me. His Spirit is inside me. And hopefully inside each one of you. You don't think I'm more valuable than a bird? And look how good He takes care of those birds. He's taking care of me the same way. And you too. Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? That's a question. Can't add a moment, but it can sure take some off. Worry can shorten your life. And why worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing. I could tell you some things about that, but I'll go on. Yet Solomon in all his glory was not dressed as beautifully as they are. You know, I was a guy back, I didn't really care how I dressed. But since I started walking with God, He gave me a family, a wife. Through God, she dresses me. See, God took care of me, even if He had to do it through somebody else. She buys my clothes. She makes sure I look good. Because I'm just, whatever I put on, it's okay with me. But it wasn't okay with my Father. He wanted me to have nice things. He wanted to take care of me. Amen? He wants to take care of you. Do you trust Him this morning? That's the thing. Yet Solomon in all his glory was not dressed as beautiful as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for wildflowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, He will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith? Why is our faith so weak sometimes? Now, we've all been there. There's sometimes our faith gets weak. That's the importance of staying in His presence, staying in His Word, and allowing Him to keep us strengthened, paying attention to what He's doing in our lives. Jesus tells us not to worry about these needs that God, He tells us not to worry about those needs that God has promised to supply. You know, He started feeding people back with Adam and Eve. He started clothing us back with Adam and Eve. He made Adam and Eve their first outfits. He fed the nation of Israel for 40 years and gave them water out in the desert. Their clothes never wore out. He kept them there. Why do we have such a hard time believing He can take care of us with all the modern things we got around? Why do we sometimes have weak faith? If He can produce food and water in the desert, and we're right here in a town, we've got all kinds of grocery stores, surely He's going to be able to feed us. Amen? So what does worry do? Worry damages our health. It disrupts our productivity. And it negatively affects the way you treat other people. Have you ever noticed how somebody is all upset and worried? They're not easy to be around. Have you ever experienced it for your own? I mean, it makes you kind of get irritable sometimes. You might say something to somebody else that you shouldn't. That's what worry does to you. It reduces our ability to trust in God. You can't tell me that you trust God, but you're saying you're worried about something. Because if you're worried about something, you don't trust in God. You're saying, God, you're not big enough to take care of my problem. Amen? I've seen some mighty big problems right here in this church. And if you're going to worry, there's some problems you should be worrying about. I'm glad to see Nancy back this morning. We know about Floyd. God's working in that situation. There's a long time we didn't see either one of them in here. Last 2 weeks we've seen Floyd. This week we get to see Nancy. And Nancy, we're glad to have you back. God's working on these problems. Amen? So how many of these things I just read off have you been experiencing in your life? Has there been a lot of worry? You know how some people say, well, I'm not really worried, I'm concerned. And you can be concerned. But do you know how to tell the difference from being worried and concerned? See, worry immobilizes you. It'll stop you. You just sit around where you don't get nothing accomplished. Just worry. Just worry. But when you can really concerned about something, it'll move you into action. You'll take care of whatever is happening before it turns into worry. Amen? The song, Temporary Home. We had a little boy, a 6-year-old boy in that song. A little too used to being alone, it said. Another new mom and dad, another school, another house that'll never be home. When people asked him how he likes this place, he looks up and says with a smile upon his face, "This is my temporary home. It's not where I belong. Windows and rooms that I'm passing through. This is just a stop on the way to where I'm going. I'm not afraid because I know this is my temporary home." We have a young mom in it, in her own. And these may not be real people, but there are real people in this world that goes through these things. She needs a little help, not know where to go. She's looking for a job, looking for a way out, because a halfway house will never be a home. We got people in these situations. At night, she whispers to her baby girl, "Someday we'll find a place here in this world." Then we got an old man that's laid in a hospital bed, his life over. The room is filled with people he loves, and this is what he whispers, "Don't cry for me. I'll see you all someday." He looks up and says, "I can see God's face. This is my temporary home. It's not where I belong. Windows and rooms that I'm passing through. This was just a stop on the way to where I am going. I'm not afraid because I know this was my temporary home. This is our temporary home. This world, like it is not where we belong. We've got work to do here. We have to pass through here, but don't hang around. Our real home is getting closer by the minute. Look around you. Look what's going on. God's not going to put up with the way this world is much longer. It's coming to an end. He's going to call us home, the ones who have chosen heaven for home. And believe me, we all are going to live for eternity. The day you was born to live forever. The question is, where? We're not all going to live in this. I hope we are all going to live in the same place. But everybody in this world is not all going to live in the same place. We're going to have different homes. You must choose the home I'm talking about. So don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. But your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. Don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. How many know if you take care of the day today, you've done a job for? That don't mean we don't plan ahead. Yes, the Bible teaches you to plan ahead, but don't worry about what's in the future. Take one day at a time, go through one day at a time. Amen? I'm going to quickly run through some more verses here. Time's getting away from me faster than I thought. John 14, verse 1 through 3, Jesus said, "Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God and trust also in me. There is more than enough room in my Father's home. If this were not so, would I have told you that I am going to prepare a place for you? When everything is ready, I will come and get you, so that you will always be with me where I am." Jesus' word shows that the way to eternal life, though unseen, is secure. As secure as your trust in Jesus Christ. He has already prepared the way to eternal life. The only issue that may still be unsettled in your willingness, it would be in your willingness to believe. See, Jesus done everything that it takes. Died on the cross. He paid for our sins. Do you believe that? There are a few verses in Scripture that describe eternal life, but these few verses are rich with promises. Here Jesus says, "I am going to prepare a place for you, for me." See, I take that for me. Jesus himself is now preparing my place. It goes on to say, "And I will come and get you." He's personally coming back to get me, and hopefully all of you. Amen? We can look forward to eternal life because Jesus has promised it to all who believe in him. Although the details of eternity are unknown, we need not fear because Jesus is preparing for us and will spend eternity with us. When I think of eternity, there's no way my mind can picture what eternity in heaven is going to be like. The Bible tells us our mind's not big enough. We just can't. But also, I don't think our minds can understand how bad hell's going to be. We don't even think about it. But hell is going to be way worse than what we can even conjure up in our brains. You don't want to live in hell. I assure you, you want to go to heaven. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 6 through 10, "So we are always confident, even though we know that as long as we live in these bodies, we are not at home with the Lord. For we live by believing and not by seeing. Yes, we are fully confident, and we would rather be away from these earthly bodies, for then we will be at home with the Lord. So whether we are here in this body or away from this body, our goal is to please him. For we must all stand before Christ to be judged. We will each receive whatever we deserve for the good or evil we have done in this earthly body." Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 16, this is Paul talking. "Dear brothers and sisters, pattern your lives after mine and learn from those who follow our example." And I don't know about you, but if you look at the life Paul had, he went through some rough times. Shipwreck, beaten, in prison. And he never turned from God. He said God was always first in his life. Nothing turned him away from God. He's saying, follow me. Be that way. Not only me, but anybody who lived their lives the same way. This is who you want to look at. You don't want to look at a fancy talker, someone who can talk to you and slip a lie in there and then. Look at their lives. Don't look at what they say. Are they living the Word? Are they not living the Word? That's what you want to look at. Amen? We got so many preachers in our churches now that are standing up there giving lies. leading you the way they want to lead you. Why? Because they want a paycheck. They want a paycheck. That's all they're up here for. Don't choose a pastor, no matter whether it's in this church or any other church, that ain't living what he's preaching. That's not opening that Bible up and reading what's in the Bible. Amen? For I have told you often before, and I say it again, with tears in my eyes, that there are many whose conduct shows they are really enemies of the cross of Christ. They are headed for destruction. Their God is their appetite. They brag about shameful things and they think only about this life here on earth. There's many people sitting in churches today and all they think about is this life here on earth. There's people sitting in their churches all across America. Ain't got a clue who God really is. They think because they show up on Sunday morning, they're a Christian. They are not. Christians actually live the life the way God tells them to. Amen? But we are citizens of heaven, where the Lord Jesus Christ lives. And we are eagerly waiting for him to return as our Savior. He will take our weak, and I love this, I love what I'm fixing to read. He takes our weak, mortal bodies, and he chains them into glorious bodies like his own. You see, not only has he got me a great and awesome home waiting on me, he's got a new body waiting on me. See, no matter how young and youthful my mind is, my body don't match up with it. I think I can go out and do a lot of things, but my body says no. Yeah. No. Amen. I'm fixing to exchange that in. I'm going to get a new one. He tells me that right here. I'm going to get one, and not just any ordinary body, one like his body. How many wants a body like Jesus Christ has? Yeah. Amen, yes. I'm fixing to get my body, and I hope you're fixing to exchange yours in too. Using the same power with which he will bring everything under his control. Do you know who that power is? The Holy Spirit. He's going to use the Holy Spirit. That's the power. That's God's power. He lives in me now. He lives in you now. That's an awesome power we have living inside of us. Are you using the Holy Power for his teachings? See, the Bible says, when he sent, it's to teach us. He was to empower us to do things we couldn't do, to go out and to talk to people we couldn't talk to spread his word. We are empowered. We have the power to do it. We may be refusing to do it, but we have the power living in us to do it. Amen? 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 5 says, this is entitled, The Hope of Eternal Life. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is by his great mercy that we have been born again. Because God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Now we live with great expectations. And we have a priceless inheritance. An inheritance that is kept in heaven for you. Pure and undefiled. Beyond the reach of change and decay, and through your faith, God is protecting you by his power, the same power that he's going to raise me up on the end. He's protecting me. He's with me right now. He's going to see to it I get there. This salvation, until you receive this salvation, which is ready to be revealed on the last day for all to see. See, we're going to know who the trill. Who the real children of God is shortly, on the last day. You can come into the church and you say anything you want, but he's fixing to expose the real kids from the imposters. Amen? We may not be able to tell ourselves, but he knows. See, the real ones has his spirit living in them. The ones that don't belong don't have his spirit. Now I'm going to go to the book of Revelations, and this is the last verses I have this morning. But this is the awesome four verses. And it sums up what I'm talking about today. Revelation 21, verses 1 through 4 says, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the old heaven and the old earth had disappeared. And the sea was also gone. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God, out of heaven, like a bride beautifully dressed for her husband." See, that's my home. We're talking about my home, my future home, my eternal home. That's what we're talking about. Your home, the one you should be looking forward to. You should be preparing to go to. You should be putting treasures up so you'll have them when you get there. "I heard a loud shout from the throne saying, 'Look, God's home is now among his people. He will live with them, and they will be his people. God himself will be with them. He will wipe,'" listen to this, "'He will wipe every tear from their eyes.'" See, when we get there, I won't have to cry no more. How many cry? Come over and just make, you, nothing wrong at all, you just have to cry. Have you ever had that? Have you ever experienced? I've been in my car just bawling like a baby going to work. That's God moving in me. But see, that's not going to happen when I get... I mean, that's a good cry there. But there's other times we cry that's not so good. He's going to wipe all these cries out. Away. Tears away. "And there will be no more death." See, I've already lost a father. I lost a brother. I lost some members of my family. Those are the closest ones. I lost some best friends. That's not going to happen anymore. See, when I get to my new home, they're all going to be there. They're going to be waiting on me when I get there, and they're never going to leave me again. If you got loved ones that's already went on before you, if they belong to Jesus Christ and you belong to Jesus Christ, you're going to see them again. They're going to be there. They're going to be there. And they will never leave you again. Because there will be no more tears, no more sadness. Amen? "There will be no more sorrow, or crying, or pain." When we get the new body, never have another pain. That's it. No more pain. For how long? Eternity. This is a short life. This is not our home. We don't belong here. We belong there. We're going to make it there. And we're going to get this new body. No more pain, no more sorrow for eternity. All these things, and he goes on to say, are gone forever. Amen. Would you stand?